It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The email certainly making a bit of a political firestorm here in Washington today. In fact, the unveiling of those emails really brought into much sharper focus the intent of that now infamous meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer. But it's also raising new questions tonight about whether or not that itself constitutes collusion.
Things are going a million miles an hour again. And hey, wait a minute. I've heard about all these things, but maybe this is something. I should hear them out. This was, again, just basic information that was going to be possibly there. I didn't know these guys well enough to understand that if this talent manager from Miss Universe, you know, had this kind of thing. So I wanted to hear them out and play it out.
Donald Trump Jr. today released a slew of private emails, an effort, he said, to be transparent about a meeting with a Russian lawyer last summer and to likely beat the New York Times, which separately planned to publish them. The emails laying out Trump Jr.'s conversation with a British tabloid publicist, Rob Goldstone, who offered to set up the encounter. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, he wrote, but is part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump, adding that it would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. Trump Jr. responded, "If it's what you say, I love it," especially later in the summer. In his first comments about the controversy, the president today issued a statement, "My son is a high-quality person, and I applaud his transparency." White House officials acknowledged the president is increasingly exasperated by the constant drip of Russia stories.
I think that the president is, I would say, frustrated with the process of the fact that this continues to be an issue, and he would love for us to be focused on things like the economy, on health care, on tax reform, on infrastructure, and that's the place that his mind is, and that's what he'd like to be discussing.
All right, that's Kevin Cork. Well, that was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but Kevin Cork is the one doing the report last night on Special Report on Fox News. This is Sandy Rios with you in the morning. Of course, this is all the conversation, and we're going to talk about this a lot this morning because it actually is very important. You know, anything that the opposition, the resistance, which, again, I hate using that term, it elevates their cause way too high. They see red meat here, and they are hoping to bring down President Donald Trump over this meeting between his son and a Russian attorney. And we're going to talk about it at greater length. I want you to hear the rest of Kevin's report, though, because it was actually very good. Let's listen.
On Capitol Hill, lawmakers suggested the meeting and corroborating emails were far more serious than a mere distraction.
This is obviously very significant, deeply disturbing new public information. All of the campaign denials of whether we know this is going on or whether Russians had any involvement, whether the Russians wanted to help his campaign, obviously now have to be viewed in a completely different context.
This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
Natalia Veselnitskaya, the Russian lawyer, who, as it turns out, may have used the dirt on Clinton ruse to secure the conversation with the Trump campaign, told NBC News today that Donald Jr. was very interested in anything she might have about the Clinton campaign.
It's quite possible that maybe they were looking for such information. They wanted it so badly.
Have you ever worked for the Russian government? Do you have connections to the Russian government?
Yep. No.
Experts say this looks a lot less like collusion than a case of gross political naivete.
While they might be chumps, that doesn't make them criminals. You know, the fact that they had this meeting is not evidence of treason. People need to really think about the implications of what they're suggesting.
Strong words there by Jonathan Turley. By the way, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who, Brett, you know as a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, says that that committee will now be prioritizing an interview or, at the very least, testimony from Donald Trump Jr. as soon as possible. For his part, Trump Jr. says he'd be happy to pass along what he knows. Brett.
All right, so perjury, treason, et cetera. You see the drill. You know the drill. And so there are a couple of things I want to say. Then I want to move on to other news. Then we're going to come back to this. I'm going to play a couple of pretty lengthy segments of Don Jr. being interviewed by Sean Hannity last night because I want you to hear what he had to say personally about it. But first of all, let me just say this. I try to reason my way through this. I notice the following. Certainly the left hates Trump, and of course they see this in a certain light. They see it as perjury, treason. That's how they want to label it because they want to bring down the president. But I see also people, I'm just observing how people are responding to this information. We are human, and it's hard for us to be objective, totally objective. It is. I see the people that are never Trumpers kind of also salivating because they want to be proven right. So as far as I'm concerned, they're not necessarily trustworthy sources. I heard Charles Krauthammer last night talk about how this was, you know, how horrible this was. And I, you know, Charles was a never Trumper. And so I think that he has been resistant to see the good things in Trump's presidency all along. And this kind of would prove him right. And so there's this eagerness, actually, I think. And Charles is not the only one. He's just one of them. I saw a lot of stuff on Blaze this morning. You know, Glenn Beck was a total, he could not stand Donald Trump. And so the Blaze typically, which I think they do some great stuff, but on Donald Trump, I'm not sure that they are objective. So, you know, am I objective? That's what I ask myself, too. I have to bring my reason to the discussion of this and my understanding of the facts. And, you know, I have to say, you know, if I'm wrong about something I publicly declared, I'm probably the first person to admit I was wrong. I just kind of grew up that way where you kind of own what you say and you own what you own it. You take responsibility. So that is my nature. So saying that, let me just say this to start before we go to other news, let me say this. If the Russians, let's say the Russians did have some information. This was information that was supposedly had to do with the DNC taking money from Russians, Russian people connected to the Kremlin. It's being described as dirt on Hillary Clinton, but it really wasn't that. Although, you know, the broad definition of dirt, if there really were damage, there really was damaging information, and there was, by the way, like the fact that the Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, sold 20% of our uranium reserves to the Russians, and then the same entities turned around and gave, I don't know the dollar amount, but a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. And then suddenly her husband's speaking fees in Russia skyrocketed. Well, that might be a problem. And you see, that's a fact. So if it came from the Russians, there's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong is when you get into things like the GPS, Fusion GPS, that did this fake story on Donald Trump of all this salacious stuff. And that was fed by the Russians to Donald Trump's opposition. Somehow that's not quite so upsetting to these news types. But that's where if you're getting salacious, untrue things and you're using it against your opponent, then that's somehow on some level that has to be wrong. But if you're getting facts and information that are actually true, you know, if I were running in a campaign, you better believe I'd want opposition research on my opponent. But I would want to only say what was true. I wouldn't want to make things up. And also, there might be some things I wouldn't choose to reveal, even if they were true, if they were damning to that person. So there's a certain level of, you know, personal measurement about what's right and wrong, what's legal, what's moral. But I personally don't think there's any problem with listening to information against your opposition if it's true, if it could be verified. Of course, when you're dealing with the Russians, one thing I have learned from my good friend David Satter, who's a Russian expert, lived there, speaks fluent Russian, was a London Financial Times reporter over there, has written 3 books on Russia, et cetera, et cetera. You get the drill. Is that the KGB, of which Vladimir Putin was part, was the chief of the KGB, are absolutely brilliant at lying, double lying and triple lying. They are just, and you will find that, now this, listen to my Russian friends as I say this, the Russian culture coming out of communism is a culture that we can't even comprehend because it is filled with lying as a matter of course. So I don't trust, like when that Russian lawyer said on that tape are you part of the Russian government? Are you connected to the Kremlin? And she says, "Niet." Well, you can't trust that. I wouldn't say, oh, that proves that she's not connected. That would be silly, because they are experts. The Russians, anyone connected with government, there are Christian Russians who are nothing like this. The Russian history is a rich one. With the early years of the Russian Orthodox Church, there was integrity. There was a commitment to Christ, at least on some level, and honesty and truth, but not so under communism. They really have perfected the art of lying and deceiving, and that's why they're so good at what they do. So this is what you're dealing with. If you don't understand it, I'm not sure anyone knows how to defend themselves or operate in good faith with anyone who cannot be honest about anything. That being the backdrop, let me move to something else. That plane crash in Mississippi, we're going to come back to the Donald Trump Jr. thing in a minute. The plane crash in Mississippi, there was a follow-up last night on Fox. I want you to hear it.
Investigators are trying to determine what caused the fiery crash of a Marine Corps plane.
Crackling noise. Is it something? Then it's a, and it was all over, but it was loud. It's just scary. It's just scary because after I seen all the black smoke, it's just something, you know, it's horrifying.
The plane was a KC-130T, similar to this four-engine aircraft, used for mid-flight refueling operations and delivering troops, cargo, and supplies. It is a workhorse of the military. Part of the VMGR 452 Marine Aerial Refueler Transport Squadron, stationed at Stewart Air National Guard Base in New York, the plane had taken off from the Marine Corps Air Station in Cherry Point, North Carolina, Monday, and was carrying equipment and personnel to Naval Air Facility El Centro in California. The plane disappeared from radar while flying over Mississippi, crashing in a soybean field near Greenwood.
There will be taking statements from air traffic control and any witnesses on the ground that may be able to contribute something to what happened.
There were no reports of injuries on the ground.
I'm going to interrupt him because I want to tell you something else. We know now that plane was carrying a group of elite Marine troops. They were headed to California for specialized training. And they're saying in this article from the Wall Street Journal that, of course, the officials are saying there was no indication of terrorism or foul play. And I'm certainly not saying there was. We don't know. If they say there wasn't, then I have to take them at their word. But I have to say there have been so many attacks against our military just in this week. There was this bag that was placed or thrown outside of headquarters. You know, now in this moment, I can't remember the location of that, but it was a recruiting station. And so they think that was terrorism. And so there are, and then of course, there's the soldier arrested in Hawaii for cooperating with ISIS. It's just, I think that there's no question there are attempts to destroy. There's the Fitzgerald incident, which we still don't know. The USS Fitzgerald, what happened there? What happened there? Where it was destroyed and six sailors were killed. What happened that it should be rolled over by a tanker, an Indonesian tanker? There was just no excuse for that. So my antenna are up all the time for reasons why. What's going on? Who's in our military? Who's doing what? I can't answer that. I want to give you some really good news. I think this is good news, and that is that Leader McConnell in the Senate has decided to postpone August recess. Remember all the pressure? We've been talking about it. And so, by the way, there's so much to say about Congress. I can't do it in this quick amount of time. Let me just say that the Democrats are obstructing the nominations of the president. It's just amazing. Kim Strassel says that if this obstruction goes on at the same rate, the president will not be able to appoint his... it'll be 4 years before he gets all of his people in place. It's just an amazing obstruction that the Democrats are orchestrating. And of course, it's all about resisting, obstructing, and stopping President Donald Trump in his efforts to fulfill the promises he made on his campaign tour, because they're so anathema to the left. And when we come back, I want you to hear Don Jr. and Sean Hannity's interview last night. And if we have time, we will open the phone lines. I can't promise that, but we'll see how this thing rolls. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget?
$500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
The disciples, and it seems like a whole lot of other people, wanted to set their agenda for Jesus. The disciples wanted him to go to the crowds. And of course, we know that the crowds wanted to crown him king. Jesus knew his mission. Jesus knew his agenda. He had an agenda that had been laid before him by the Father. He was not going to compromise the Father's plan. You know, the Father has a plan for us to stay focused on His will, and that should be a part of our stewardship.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Is there anybody left in America who has not been accused of colluding with the Russians? Geez, aloo! I'm afraid to even put Russian dressing on my garden salad. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat, now says Donald Trump Jr. may have committed treason. Treason! But in reality, there's still no evidence that anyone committed a crime. There is no smoking gun. Just a bunch of emails that show the Trump campaign was looking for dirt on Hillary Clinton. I don't seem to recall the mainstream media attacking the Clinton campaign when they got dirt on Trump from the Ukrainians. Is Hillary Clinton guilty of treason, too? The answer's no, because getting dirt on your opponents is as American as apple pie. So let me say this again. The mainstream media wants to destroy President Trump. They want to bring down his presidency. And they will do anything to make that happen. Anything. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We now know that through intermediaries, the Russian government sought to approach the Trump campaign to see whether they would be interested in damaging information about Hillary Clinton. We now know that the response that the president's son gave to the Russians was that he would love it if they would provide damaging information about Hillary Clinton. Rather than report this overture by the Russian government to provide damaging information to intervene in the presidential election in a way to help his father, neither the president's son nor the campaign reported this information to the FBI.
We get this email exchange today showing clear collaboration between the Russian government and Russian government agents and the Trump campaign at the highest levels, where the email is very clear that the Russian government is weighing in to help elect Donald Trump.
We need Donald Trump Jr. and other campaign associates to turn over any and all documents and electronic communications that investigators ask for. And we need public testimony under oath of Donald Trump Jr., who has changed his story repeatedly.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
Had it. Sandy Rios back with you. The parade of, you know, Democrats saying that this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And, you know, even the fact that Donald Trump Jr. said, I love it. Well, he loves the fact that there might be some information damaging to Mrs. Clinton. There is nothing wrong, as far as I know. There's nothing wrong with gathering damaging information against your opponent if it's true. You know, I already gave you the illustration of Mrs. Clinton selling our uranium deposits to the Russians. And then the Clinton Foundation just happens to get tons of money out of this Russian entity after that little exchange. And then her husband suddenly gets higher speaking fees. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'll tell you what collusion is. Collusion is 1984, I think it was, when Ted Kennedy was running for president against Ronald Reagan. And we actually know because what's called, I think it's called the Vedona Files, were released after the Soviet Union broke up. The Vedona Files revealed a lot of exchanges between Americans and Russian officials. And one of those notable exchanges was Ted Kennedy talking to our vowed enemy at the time, our arch enemy at the time, the Soviet Union, the bastion of communism. The Cold War was all about the enemy of the United States waging a Cold War against us and us fighting back. So in spite of that, Ted Kennedy reaches out to our enemies, our avowed enemies. It's true that Russia's not a friendly country to us now, but they're not an avowed enemy. This was an avowed enemy. Ted Kennedy reaches out, we have the letter, and asks the Russians to do certain maneuvers, certain actions. I don't remember if it was military actions. He wanted them to do certain things in certain parts of the world to discredit Ronald Reagan so that he, Ted Kennedy, could win the election. That's when it gets into nefarious collusion. If a foreign power, look, we exchange ideas with our espionage. Through espionage, we work with all the Israelis, the British, the French, whoever. We get information all the time. And so if it's true information and there's not a quid pro quo, there's not a promise to do something for a government for this, and there's no evidence that anything like that took place. In fact, this whole thing sounds pretty ridiculous, but I'm talking too much. I want you to actually hear Donald Trump Jr. talking with Sean Hannity because they did an interview last night. This is about 5 minutes long, so let's just listen.
Let's start with the first email. First of all, let's talk about who is Rob Goldstone.
Rob Goldstone is a talent manager for Emin Argalov, who's a Azerbaijani Russian singer, performed at Miss Universe and later performed at the WGC Championship golf course tournament that we held at Doral.
All right, so do you know...
I met him through the golf course. I wasn't even at the Miss Universe pageant, but I met him throughout there, so I had a casual relationship.
With him, okay. So he sends you this email. We'll put it back up on the screen and give you a chance to look at this. This is the one that says the Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, meaning Emin's father, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with documents, information that could incriminate Hillary Clinton, etc., obviously highly sensitive information, but as part of Russia and its government support of Mr. Trump. And then they asked the best way to handle this. This email comes in. What are you thinking?
Honestly, my takeaway when all of this was going on is that someone has information on our opponent. You know, things are going a million miles an hour. You know what it's like to be on a campaign. We just won Indiana, but we're talking about a contested convention. Things are going a million miles an hour again. And, hey, wait a minute. I've heard about all these things, but maybe this is something. I should hear him out.
Okay. When you read the parts about the Russian government or Russia supporting your father, did that put off any sirens in your head?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think this was, again, just basic information that was going to be possibly there. I didn't know these guys well enough to understand that if this talent manager from Miss Universe, you know, had this kind of thing. So I wanted to hear him out and play it out and see what happens. But, you know, people are trying to reach out to you all the time with this.
All right. So you spent a lot of time talking about it, and you actually said at one point that, hey, if it turns out to say what you say it is.
Of course.
What did you think it might be?
Listen, I'd been reading about scandals that people were probably underreporting for a long time. So maybe it was something that had to do with one of those things. I mean, this was her, perhaps, involvement with the Russian government. So, you know, again, I didn't know there was any credibility. I didn't know if there was anything behind it. I can't vouch for the information. You know, someone sent me an email. I can't help what someone sends me. You know, I read it. I responded accordingly. And if there was something interesting there, I think it's pretty common.
What about the timeline of this? This is pre, for example, WikiLeaks and the DNC emails.
This is pre, like, Russia fever. This is pre-Russia mania. You know, this is 13 months ago, before I think the rest of the world was talking about that, trying to build up this narrative about Russia. So I don't even think my sirens, you know, went up, or the antennas went up at this time because of it, because it wasn't the issue that it's been made out to be over the last, you know, 9 months, 10 months, since it really became a thing. So I think there is an element of context to that. At the time, it wasn't this big news story.
All right. What did you know about Emin's father? What did you know about them from Moscow? Was it just the pageant you met them at?
They had
the
pageant, and they're successful real estate developers over there. So, you know, that's the extent of, you know, my knowledge with them. I'd met Emin once or twice, and, you know, maintained a casual relationship there, talked about some potential deals, and that's about the extent of it. They really didn't go anywhere.
What do you know about this Russian lawyer? What did you at the time, if anything, know about
it? I actually didn't know anything about it. Again, an acquaintance, you know, sent me this email. As a courtesy to him, I said, okay, let's meet. But I didn't know who I was meeting beforehand, never heard of the person, never got the information until they were in the room.
At any point were you told, either in a phone conversation or otherwise, what they might tell you, what Goldstone seemed to be implying you would receive?
Now, as I recall, it was all basically this email coordination, let's try to set up a meeting and see what happens, and that it was going to be interesting information. And, you know, in the end, it wasn't about that at all.
Let's go into the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you meet at Trump Tower.
Yes.
Okay, the meeting was described earlier today on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Did she describe it accurately?
I think fairly accurately. I mean, I was a little taken back by her saying, you know, talking about me pressing for the information. But as you can see from the emails, the pretext of the meeting was, hey, we have information. And there was, you know, some small talk. I don't even remember what it was. It just was sort of nonsensical, inane and garbled, and then quickly went on to, you know, a story about Russian adoption and how we could possibly help. And really, that's where we shut it down, which is, wait a second, what does this have to do with
Did you
what
even
we
know what the McGinty Act was?
I'd never even heard of it before, you know, that day. You know, I think it became pretty apparent to, you know, Jared and Paul, who I think Jared left after a few minutes. Paul got
in
the phone.
She said that. Yeah.
Yeah, this is her account.
Paul,
I do remember
phone?
That. Yeah, we were all there. I was basically sitting there listening as a courtesy to my acquaintance who had set up the meeting. And, you know, in his own words, you can hear what he said, and you played it earlier. About it. I mean, he apologized to me walking out of the meeting basically for wasting my time.
Well, and he did say at the end of your statement today, you did point out, as Goldstone said today, the entire meeting was the most inane nonsense I've ever heard, and I'm actually, you know, agitated by it.
Yeah, listen.
And he called and apologized to you?
There wasn't really follow-up because there was nothing there to follow up. It, you know, but as we were walking out, he said, listen, I'm sorry for that. But I think what happened... He sort of goosed up. He built up. There was some puffery to the email, perhaps to get the meeting, to make it happen. And, you know, in the end, there was probably some bait and switch about what it was really supposed to be about. And so, you know, there is nothing there.
All right. So that's at least part of that interview. That was, again, Donald Trump Jr. along with Sean Hannity last night on Fox. Now, here's the thing. Just to reiterate some things that you've already heard, the publicist's name was Rob Goldstein. He's a publicist. And so I think that Donald Trump Jr. is probably correct that he overstated the import of the attorney. He described her as the crown prosecutor of Russia, which we, in looking now at her past, as other people are doing, she hasn't really been actively working. I think at the year is like, I think they said 82. That can't possibly be right. But I think that's what I read. But it's been a long time. And her role in Russia... Her main interest is in overturning what's called this Magnitsky Act. Now, stay with me, because this explains why people are accusing Don Trump Jr. of morphing his explanations, because he first said it was primarily the discussion of the adoption of Russian children. It sounds to me like this attorney came in on the pretense that she had information about Hillary Clinton, and Don Jr. was happy to hear it. But he says, and others in the meeting say, that she said some things that made no sense about that and then quickly moved on to what she really wanted to talk about, was what she has been lobbying for a long time, and this is beyond this meeting, we know this to be true, is the overturning of this Magnitsky Act. It's named after a Russian dissident who sort of outed some corruption in the Russian government under Vladimir Putin, and he mysteriously died in prison. And so, of course, people think that he was killed. And so the Congress passed a law that said that Americans would not, there would be no dealings, and there was harsh treatment to anyone, any Russian who was suspected of human rights abuses. It was, I'm sure I don't have the exact language, but that's the gist of it. And Vladimir Putin was furious, and as a result of that law that was passed by our Congress, he stopped all Russian adoptions. All right, so then that's why it seems to me, based on what I'm hearing, this attorney, who had been working for that cause for some time, asked for this meeting on a ruse, promising information on Hillary Clinton, when in fact what she wanted to talk about was overturning the Magnitsky Act, and she held out the carrot of reinstating Russian adoption. So that is my understanding, knowing what I know. And so that's why when Donald Trump Jr. said the primary topic of discussion was the adoption of Russian children, that was probably true. She acted as though she knew something about Hillary, and then she morphs into the thing she really wanted to talk about, and they are scratching their heads saying, what is she talking about? And he didn't know. He says, he's asked, I think, by Sean, I think in that clip you just heard, do you know about the Magnitsky Act? And he said, I never heard of it. Well, have you heard of it? Not many of us have. So I really do think that's what happened. The meeting lasted about 20 minutes. I guess if they were doing some big collusion with the Russians, they might not meet in Trump Tower. They might want to, you know, squirrel her away to some back room somewhere else so that, you know, they could do their nefarious planning. That's one point that needs to be made. There are other things related to this that I want to share with you. John McCain has been cited by at least three or four sources here as the chief disseminator. Oh, shoot, I didn't mention this. Fusion GPS is the organization that hired Christopher Steele, the former British agent, to prepare that really salacious dossier on Donald Trump. And that I've discussed ad nauseum. I'm sure you're getting tired of hearing about this, but it ties into this story. It looks as though this attorney, this Russian attorney who managed to get this meeting with Donald Trump Jr. is connected with Fusion GPS, which would make one ask, wait a second, was this, I mean, it's a legitimate question. Was this a setup to then have something, some sort of provable, they think, connection between the Trump campaign and the Russians? You know, what is she doing in there? So the reason, one of the persons mentioned in that dossier is a businessman. His name is Alexis Gubarev. He's in Cyprus, and his name was not recused from the document. So when BuzzFeed actually printed the dossier in January, lots of media organizations had seen it, but it was so bizarre that they never printed it out of journalistic ethics. Thank goodness for that. But BuzzFeed, not so. They printed it. So this guy's name was not redacted. He is now suing for defamation, for slander. And they're going after BuzzFeed and others. And John McCain just gave testimony just this week. And according to a new court document, I'm reading now from McClatchy's report, in the British lawsuit, counsel for the defendant Steele and Orbis repeatedly point to McCain, Republican of Arizona, a vocal Trump critic and former State Department official, as two and a handful of people known to have had copies of the full document before it circulated. Sir Andrew Wood, the British ambassador to Moscow and Russia, said that McCain came to him, reached out, asked for the dossier, wanted to talk about it. So McCain then, his spokesperson says that McCain delivered the dossier to the director of the FBI. And then you will know now that the FBI, as testified by James Comey, used that fake dossier to excuse their investigation into Donald Trump and their accusations of him. And they actually, my understanding is they paid at least $50,000 for parts of what the dossier said. This is really bizarre. And so as you listen to the things, the outrage in the news reports in the next few days, keep these things in mind. There's more to say about it, of course. I'm going to come back in just a second with more of that. I think I will open the phone lines. I'd be curious to know what you're hearing, and especially if you're hearing something that's persuasive to you on this, let's talk. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning.
A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Defense Secretary James Mattis put the brakes on implementing former President Obama's transgender madness in our military. Representative Vicky Hartzler of Missouri is preparing to offer an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that will completely kibosh this lunacy in our military. It's good to have leadership in our country that recognizes the American military is a lethal fighting machine that exists to protect and defend our country. It's not a social petri dish that should be subjected to politically motivated experimentation.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Join Richard Land, Frank Turek, Norman Geisler, Michael Brown, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Online registration ends October 10th. Visit ses.edu for details.
The financial world certainly can be intimidating, and our livelihood, of course, depends upon it. But God is in control of all things. Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I take your calls every day and give you answers from a biblical perspective and break down the day's financial numbers to help keep you informed. Financial Issues, every weekday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time and Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia in May to call on Muslim nations to drive out those who engage in or sponsor Islamic terrorism. Several responded by isolating and boycotting one of the worst offenders, Qatar. President Trump subsequently declared his support for this hard but necessary step to confront a nation that had been, quote, a funder of terrorism at a very high level, unquote. Yet Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has repeatedly expressed official support for Qatar. A former ExxonMobil executive long tied to that nation, he should have to recuse himself on this issue. Instead, he just signed a memorandum of understanding with the Qataris about jointly countering terrorism. That's protective cover for Qatar's toxic ruler, that will enable and encourage him to continue supporting our jihadist enemies. This must stop, and officials who won't support the president's policies must go. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. It's the 40th year celebration for the American Family Association, and it's a great time for us to kind of celebrate together and also remind ourselves of what this is all about. We have these wristbands that talk about, that just say, "In God We Trust." It's our national motto. And of course, it's true, is it not? Not all Americans trust in God, that's for sure, because we have sort of lost our grip on our culture. But this is kind of a line in the sand. In God we trust. In God we trust. And so if you would like it, these actually are beautiful little bands. My husband and I have them too. We ordered them. They're beautiful. And if you would like to get them in honor of our 40th anniversary to share with your friends and your family, your church, you can get 40 maybe just 40, in honor of AFA's 40th anniversary. All you have to do is go to afastore.net, afastore.net, and order them, and they'll send them right out to you. All right, well, the media is going crazy, and so I'll just give you an idea. They're going crazy about this Donald Trump Jr. Meeting with this Russian, a female attorney. Sad, they're going crazy. Let's listen.
Even if you accept his Sunday version, ask no questions, have no suspicions, he's in a world of hurt.
The president's son, according to this new reporting, was informed, hey, the Russian government has dirt on Hillary Clinton. And apparently the response to that was...
He was admitting that he had met with this Russian lawyer for the purpose of receiving information against Hillary Clinton. I thought, my God, this kid was dropped on his head as a child. Could he possibly be admitting this?
We're now stupid of Don Jr. I mean, I guess it runs in the family to go on Twitter when he is clearly in legal jeopardy.
This can't be dismissed as people out to get Donald J. Trump Jr. or fake news. This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
Really? All right. So let me just say that from all I'm reading about Donald Trump Jr., he's actually brilliant. My understanding is that he went to spend summers with his grandmother, I think in Czechoslovakia, where he would go hunting with her. And he has, from what I understand, a really deep understanding of conservative principles, maybe more than his dad. He went to Wharton School of Business. He's actually a brilliant kid. He's not schooled in politics. You know, this happened like a few days after Donald Trump won the nomination. So I'm sure it's been a learning curve. And I bet you can take it to the bank, he's probably learned from this one. But this is what the media are saying. It's just amazing. And so it would be interesting to me to know what you are hearing. I know you're hearing the news I'm hearing, but how you feel about what you're hearing. And if you... have some questions, not that I can answer all of them, but things that we can talk about what exactly might have been wrong with this, some holes that you're seeing in the reporting, or some questions that you would ask if you were in the position to ask them. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Fine.
Good. All right, so you have some information, right?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think that most campaigns are aware that it's not ethical or legal to accept help from a foreign government, and especially somebody like Russia. Therefore, you're not, whenever you get something like that or somebody asks to give you something, that you're supposed to turn it over to the FBI.
Okay. So this is something that the campaign for Donald Trump should have known.
Right.
Carol, you know, it's interesting to me when you look back on some of the abuses of all these elections. You think about the fact that, you know, the Obama administration actually orchestrated a grant to go into Israel to form a group to oppose Benjamin Netanyahu. You know about that, right?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so somehow that gets ignored, you know. And this meeting with Don Trump Jr., who obviously, if that is a rule, was not aware of that rule. If he knew that were true, why would he meet in Trump Tower? Don't you think they'd want to go to a restaurant down the street and meet in Vito's private room, you know, instead of parading this Russian attorney into Trump Tower where everyone was watching everything? It sort of indicates to me that he did not know that, if what you're saying is true.
Right. Well, that may be true. I think they didn't have enough advisors who were aware of it, and apparently Paul Manafort was not apparently aware of it either, even though he was apparently quite involved in helping people in different Russian campaigns or satellites.
Yeah, that part doesn't make sense, because he was in the meeting. They said he was on his cell phone the whole time. That's what the Russian attorney reported, and that's what Donald Trump Jr. confirmed that too. All right, Carol, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for that piece of information. Let's go to Marty in Iowa. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you so very much for this opportunity. I would just say, from what I'm hearing, and I've said it to you before, I've told my media, my local media and I don't listen anymore. I'm done with them because they have an agenda to destroy a principled man who wants the best for this country. He loves this country. And to listen to the Charlie Wrangles of the world, we know as Christians, we need to pray for the man because he's going to meet his creator face to face. And he is in a terrible way, along with the rest of the Democratic Party. They have been willing to believe lies, and that's what they run on. And it's disgusting because they're sore losers. We recognize that every one of the Democrats that keep pushing their agenda like this, they are opposed to the United States of America. And as Christians, I know that I have eternal life as well as you, and all other Christians know that. And we are called to stand up as patriots of this country and as boasting on Jesus Christ. And I just heard the other day on Christian media, by the way, that Mr. Trump had some 15 of the top leading Christian pastors in America. They met together in the White House, and they had a fabulous time. And these are the types of things that we do not hear on our media. I shut it off. I don't even listen to the weatherman anymore because I can pull that up on my phone. And we are falling into a trap of lies, and it's disgusting. We're supposed to be standing up for this man. He has done nothing wrong. We didn't call him to be perfect. We called him to be a leader. And our gutless GOP, who cannot stand up and follow his example instead of licking their fingers and sticking it in the air and finding out what's going on by polls who don't have a backbone themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Marty, I hear you. Boy, I hear you. And I know you're expressing what a lot of people are feeling. Thank you so much for calling. The one thing I guess I would caution about for all of us is that, by the way, you guys, I need some help here with going to the next call. I've got some problems with the screen. The one thing I would caution is that, just to be clear, our role as Christians are to be good citizens, and certainly, as I've said before, America is our family. It's our extended family. The people with our last name are our family, and then America is part of our earthly family as well. I don't think that we're called to be blindly loyal to anyone. I think if President Trump does things that are his son or his family that are not right, we have to be honest about that. But I also think that in this case, I just don't see the hysteria over this particular meeting. If I did, I'd tell you. I would tell you, but I don't. I just don't see it. They're just salivating because they think they have something else. I want to read to you just quickly from McClatchy. McClatchy is not a conservative outlet. They talk about this Fusion GPS that I told you about, this research firm that hired Christopher Steele. It was opposition research initiated by one of Trump's GOP primary opponents. They've never named that person. But later the Democrats paid Fusion GPS, which has a Russian owner, by the way. And then Fusion and Steele briefed the New York Times, the Washington Post, Yahoo News, New Yorker, CNN, and then later Mother Jones on the contents of that dossier. You notice there are no conservative outlets in there. And we also, as I said, we know that this Russian attorney was also connected to Fusion GPS. So what's with that? Just say, stay tuned. Maybe we'll hear more about this. Let's go to Jeff in Texas. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning,
Jeff. Good morning, Sandy. My question is, why hasn't Donald Trump Jr. come forward prior to these emails being reported by the New York Times and acknowledge that he has had prior meetings with Russian officials, regardless of whether or not we think that it's collusion? I haven't made up my mind on that. I tend to agree with Donald Trump Jr. as far as his conversation with Sean Hannity on Fox that you played earlier, that it perhaps didn't, you know, set off any red flags that early in the campaign. But when asked previously, why didn't he come forward and said, yeah, I did have a meeting with Russian officials?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Jeff, except that I guess maybe he, just brainstorming with you, he may not have felt that this woman was a Russian official. that the whole meeting was a ruse. That's kind of what I, that's kind of my take on it. I think that they were being played, and maybe he just thought the meeting was so short and it accomplished nothing and there was no follow-up that he didn't think it was worth muddying up the discourse. Because you see what the left does with just a little bit of information. They, all you have to say is somebody Russian and they go crazy. So maybe his motivation was that he just didn't want to muddy the narrative and knew this meeting mounted to nothing. And we don't have any reason to believe that she was a Russian official, certainly based on the content afterwards, and that there was no follow-up. Now, if there was follow-up and somehow we learn in future email that Donald Trump, it was totally different. She shared information. They paid her. They promised the Russians they'd do certain things. Then we have something to worry about. But I don't see evidence of that yet, Jeff. All right, let's go to Royce in Arkansas. Good morning, Royce.
Well, good morning, Sandy. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to take a minute. I listened to a lot, and I've just about quit listening to Sean Hannity because I think he's become so one-sided in this thing that it's difficult to get a lot of information from that that's not tainted with the opinion that's a little bit one-sided. But I've listened and I look, and let me say first, I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. And I'm an independent constitutional voter, so I did vote for Donald Trump, and I don't think what we're seeing and hearing right now is going to amount to as much as the left thing tries to make it sound. But with that being said, as a Christian, I look at a lot of things, and on this particular instance, I go back and find that I try to look at this from Trump, Donald Trump Jr.'s first email that he got, and that impression, taking the rest of it away and objectively looking at it, there was a lot of things there that should have been a red flag for him, that should have been sitting there. And with all that's there and everything that has followed, with hindsight, it looks like it may not be that bad. But from the point that he took that, I look at that, and I don't think the past mistakes that have been made by anybody, whether it be Democrats, Republicans, or whatever they may be, that should not have a difference here. We stand on our own. We make decisions as individuals, yeah. Royce, and as Christians,
I'm going to have to interrupt you just because of time. Stay with me, though. You're saying that two wrongs don't make a right, and you're right about that. My point about Ted Kennedy and others is not that they're not equivalent. They're just not. The point would be that they're not equivalent. And the fact is that nobody cares about that. Nobody covers that. Nobody covers the fact that Hillary Clinton gave our uranium supplies, 20% of them, to the Russians, or sold them and got money for that. Nobody talks about that. That's my point. And
I do agree with that.
Yeah, so
I definitely do.
Yeah, and I would the only thing that you and I probably don't agree on is I honestly don't think even that initial email is that I don't look, if my dad were running for president, or if I were running for any office and I found out I might get opposition research that's true, not made up, on my opponent that I might use in my campaign, I would take that meeting and I would be excited about it too. If you think from the source you're going to get honest information, I don't see anything wrong with that personally. Now, what Carol said earlier that that campaigns are not allowed to get information from foreign governments. I'm not sure that's true. Obviously, Donald Trump Jr. didn't know that. But, Royce, you're right that two wrongs don't make a right. I think you're also right that Sean is one-sided. No question about it. That's what I'm trying not to be. But I can tell you objectively, I just don't see any there here. I really don't. We'll find out if they get some traction on this one. Certainly if they can, and they can destroy Donald Trump Jr., and then Donald Trump Sr., that's what they're going to do. So you can take that to the bank. All right. Well, thanks for joining me. I'm sorry that we always don't have enough time, but it's a great privilege to spend this time with you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.